You may have noticed that I use the Old Testament quite a bit. And perhaps it goes back to the thing that Jesus tells his disciples in Matthew. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Jesus came with a higher authority. And so, there is the hope that maybe people will be carried back to what they originally knew of the law. What's happened over the years has been this layering on. Here we have the law. Now, so-and-so says, well, you should do this. And then so-and-so else says, well, you should do this. And then Rabbi Hillel says, well, you should do this. And by the time Jesus is working on the earth, there have been all of these little rules added to observing the Sabbath. And so what Jesus, I think, is saying here, we need to go back and remember the law, which is the first five books of the Bible, which is called the Book of Moses. And we need to look back at what the prophets said. And when we do that, we have the purest sense of what God demands of us. And so we can go back to Isaiah and have a pretty good idea of some of the things that we are supposed to be doing in the clearest and simplest form, without embellishment, without anybody's interpretations. It's just straight out what we should be doing. And so I looked at Isaiah for today, and it's kind of a conversation between God and the people. Shout! Do not hold back. Announce to my people their rebellion. God is upset. As well God might be, because we humans are a rebellious sort, in case you hadn't noticed. We always like to push the limits. We always come up with our own inventions of how it is to be good and what we can do, what we can't do. And these people were no different. And they have been doing something that they call fasting, which is a communal kind of thing in this day. And it would be a parallel to our sense of worship. They are fasting. They are being penitent. We say a prayer of confession. They're doing a similar sort of thing when they are fasting. They are being penitent. And yet they seek God, and they seem to be a nation that practices righteousness, that God has a problem with them. They say, well, we fast. Why don't you respond to us? We're doing everything we're supposed to do. And God says, look, you serve your own purposes on your fast days. You oppress your workers. You fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Seems to me that they have some of the same problems that have been observed in recent years about Christians. They're a little hypocritical. Go worship on Sunday, but expect everybody else to work. It's been a long time since there were blue laws. A lot of you probably never even heard of them. It meant that the stores were closed on Sunday. What a marvel. Isn't that something? Can you imagine that happen? I'm amazed they close on Christmas now. But they do, thank goodness. So anyway, they oppress their workers. They're only interested in their own well-being. They're there for their own good. Because, oh, well, it feels pretty good to sit here and fast. I mean, other than the discomfort of not eating. But we're being very pious, aren't we? Aren't we good? We're really good. And so they're doing it for their own purposes. And then they quarrel and fight. Oh, we Presbyterians don't know anything about quarreling and fighting, do we? We just had Presbytery meeting yesterday. The three of us that were there, well, it wasn't always pleasant. And so, quarrel and fight. And then you strike with a wicked fist. Well, maybe we don't lash out literally with a fist, but, you know, there are these lovely things called words. And boy, can we lash meanly with our tongue and use our words. And so, here we have Isaiah speaking to people thousands of years ago. But it seems to me like perhaps people have not changed all that much. We still suffer from the same problems. So what are they supposed to do? How are they supposed to make it better? God asks it in a question form, so it may not be as clear as we would like. This is the fast that I choose. Loose the bonds of injustice. Undo the thongs of the yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your home? When you see them naked, to cover them? These are the things we're supposed to be doing. Release the yoke of oppression. It's not as evident in our country. We don't see people walking around with huge baskets hanging on their shoulders. But any of you who lived in other countries or have traveled in other countries, you've seen people having to haul water for miles upon miles. You've seen people being used as beasts of burden to carry the things to the market. Loads of wood piled on top of their heads, their shoulders, their backs. And Isaiah calls for the people to release the yoke of oppression. And we can say, oh, we do good things. We have food pantries. We feed the hungry. We give our clothes so that people who are unclothed have clothes. And yet that does not change anything. It does not address the systemic injustice that lies behind all of the people who are hungry and homeless and without jobs or with inadequate income. I was shocked to read that there's slavery in this country still. Farm workers locked into huts at night and then released the next morning to go pick their tomatoes, their oranges, or whatever. In the United States, tomato workers went on strike and organized. They managed to get a raise. They now make 46 cents a pound for picking tomatoes. When I go out to eat, I feel guilty because I know that that food server makes $4.25 or $26 an hour. And if I don't leave a tip, they don't go home with enough for supper. Systemic injustice. We can't just keep putting Band-Aids on the problem. One of the reasons we're trying to raise money for the Shesefu Theological College is so they can have wells. What we take for granted, turning on the water faucet and having drinkable water, as many of you know, doesn't exist in other countries. There are no faucets. And if they do find water, it's not necessarily pure. So what is the worship God demands of us? We can come to worship. We can do all the things that we feel are good things to do, and they are. But we have to be very careful that we do not end up like some congregations. I read an account this week by somebody named Andrew Foster Connor. Andrew Foster Connor wrote about this church that decided during Lent to have a few of their members go out and try to find the suffering Christ. So they went out onto the streets of their city with some of the homeless people they had been working with. It was kind of a cold night, and around midnight it started raining. And they decided they'd see if they could find some shelter. So they saw a church. It was having an all-night prayer vigil, and they went to the church. The leader of this group was really a very well-known pastor in the community. She walked through the door of the church, and there was a guard standing there. And he told her very politely, but very firmly, "I'm here to keep homeless people like you out." And so they went back out into the cold and the rain. They found the suffering of Christ locked outside the church. We can become so complacent and so content with what we're doing, thinking that what we are doing is enough, that it's good, that we forget that there is always more that we can do. And true worship means that we come in here and we don't pat ourselves on the back. We don't get comfortable. But we come in here not to feel good about ourselves or to say, "I enjoyed that sermon." Or to even go out and say, "Oh, I learned something today." We come in here to encounter the Word of God. We come in here to encounter God and to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. We come in here to have a revelation of what God wants of us. And it's not to sit in the pews. Even when they're uncomfortable and hard. Maybe that should be a reminder to us to not get too comfortable and to bask in our religiosity. And we need to remind ourselves that it's when we're on the edge, when things are unfortunately in transition, that we probably are pressed the most to be creative, to be the most open to God, and to do the most in God's service. So come, let us worship. Let us be inspired. Let us seek revelation. And let us go wherever God calls us, scary and as uncomfortable as it might be. Let us pray. Oh God, your word to us sometimes is awfully hard. Help us to open ourselves to you, to your will, to your revelation, and go where you would have us go, do what you would have us do, to bring your justice, your peace, your righteousness to your creation. Amen.